Gotta work on that volume, Dan.
The Linux Link Tech Show.
I'm gonna have to bump the volume up on that.
Your link to GNU Linux and the latest technology. 2 hours of insightful guests, tech info, and playful banter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Free software, free speech, open technology, and open mic.
I love it.
Now, live from the Linux Link Tech Show studios, here are your hosts, Dan, Alan, Pat, and Link. Link it up and take it away.
Boom.
Yeah. And welcome to the 200th Tech Show.
Woo-hoo. Sort of, kinda.
Yeah. Isn't no, it sort of, kinda? There's this 200 shows.
It's a 200 show, yeah.
We haven't actually been present for four of them, but it is 200 shows, which is an enormous accomplishment, in my opinion, anyway. And if you don't think so, you know, longest, we really don't care.
The longest continuously running show.
That's right. On the planet, even.
Self-proclaimed. Special thanks to JZA and Trolls for doing three shows for us, and then thanks to Ben.
Thanks to Ben for the mashup episode. Yeah, definitely. Very, very cool. Yeah, but it was very, very cool that we had, you know, we have some great fans who stepped up to the plate to give us all a much-needed vacation. Because I don't know about the rest of you guys, but, like, I really needed the vacation. It gave me the chance to do a few things and get things straightened around out here in the wonderful Vale of Downingtown.
So how you boys been? Are you, like, bored out of your mind the past 4 weeks, or has it flown by and you haven't even noticed?
It's flown by for me. I don't know. How about the rest of you guys?
I was going to say, flown by. Should take another 4 weeks.
Nah.
just to relax.
I've been chopping at the bit the last couple of weeks.
How's the new baby?
He's getting big.
Yeah. Sleeping through the night now?
Yep, finally getting some sleep. At least my wife is. And it's a good thing. It's going well. Can't complain.
Awesome. Awesome. So anybody getting...
Did Dan drop off already?
Something, dinner, something. I don't know. Does anybody have any, little morsels of Linuxy goodness that they have done over this past? I know Dan. I know Pat must, right? Have some kind of Linuxy stuff that he's done over.
Well,
the
non-Linuxy stuff, more like, you know, show
techie
related
stuff.
Things. Next time, you know, we really appreciate that our listeners and our friends, you know, stepped up to the plate and did some content while we're away, but. My only request is the next time that we do that, that they don't go and call people names on us and we get an avalanche of hate mail over it.
But we get it anyway, you know? I don't know if it makes any difference whether they do it or whether we do it, because, we generate hate mail on our own, too.
And that's good. Well,
yeah, to be fair, or rather, I generate hate mail on my own. I don't know about the rest of you guys.
That's because you hate freedom, Link. You hate
freedom. Yes, I hate freedom, and at least that's what they tell me. And apparently I just, my gigantic burden of common sense that I carry around me just happens to rub some of the show listeners the wrong way. And
it's okay, Link. I hate freedom, too.
Yeah. Well, of course we all know that, you know, if I have a disagreement with someone, they're just wrong. That's all there is to it, and that's why they get pissed off.
Tell them to fuck off, and it's good.
Right.
Oh!
Got to bring back our explicit tag, people.
This is a family
gotta keep,
show.
Got to keep that up.
Yeah, and they're telling me a back way. And excuse the squeaking a little bit. I'm a back way, back the mic away from me a little.
Kind of
hunched over and typing.
Like, every once in a while.
I can turn it down a little bit more. I was hunched over and typing.
Just don't talk into it quite so loud. But anyways, hey, I got a new monitor finally.
Ah, you know what? My input volume went back up again. That's why. That is really odd. Let me turn it down. How's it sound now?
Yeah, now you sound all right.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to leave this up so I can take a look at it every once in a while then. For some reason, I went and looked at my input volume, and it was back up to like 88 from, 60 where I had it before.
Hmm.
Really odd.
Special keystroke.
Ghosts in the machine or something,
But as I was saying, I got a new monitor finally.
Bought a
22-inch Samsung.
20 LCD flat screen?
You got one of those Apple monitors that go for $6,000.
No. I stuck with a Samsung for $329 or $339, I think I paid for it.
Where's the pictures?
I don't have any of it, actually.
Oh, man, you can't do that. That's not cool.
Well, I'm in the process of trying to rearrange things in this room, but it's not going very well.
Yeah.
Because I really just don't have any room to put
it in. The real reason Alan didn't have the money to buy a $6,000 Apple monitor, he went out and he got an iPhone, didn't you, Alan?
No, I did not get an iPhone.
But he wants one.
No. I do, but not anytime soon. Wait for like the second or third generation. Never buy a first generation Apple product. You guys know that.
Well, I'll tell you what I did.
I've never purchased anything from Apple.
Okay.
Oh, I have. I have, and I'll tell you what. My Mac Mini that I bought, I got the first gen Intel Mac Mini. You know, the Core Solo, because I'm cheap. I was especially cheap back then because this is before my new job. And I really, really like it. Ever since I moved in to my new place, I've been using it a lot. It sits in the corner of my desk, and I play. I don't have my cable connected to my computer anymore, so I'll watch movies on the Mac. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'll put it in there and watch little movies on it, or I'll run a web browser on that while I'm working, doing programming or something on my other machine. And that's been really cool. So I really like that, and I know I mentioned this before, but that white Apple keyboard that you can buy, you guys all know what I'm talking about, right? That is the best keyboard in the world. Hands down.
I do like that.
There is no better, except maybe the old Model 66, the IBM clicky key one. Yeah. That's good, too. Anywhere past that one.
The clicky one you can assault people with.
Right. Just for, tactile feel and stuff like that. But any year past that one, you go right up to the whatever the hell they invented this Apple keyboard, the white Apple keyboard, right? White Apple keys with the clear base kind of thing.
Yeah.
USB, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful keyboard. And one of the listeners had heard me a while ago, a listener by the name of Kevin, heard me talk about this a little while ago, and when I first got it, I wanted to get the Apple Mighty Mouse, right? This is the Apple's new Mighty Mouse that has right and left click, and it has a little scroll ball kind of thingy. And I wanted to get that really bad when I got my Mac set up, but they were like $50, right, for a mouse. And this is a wired mouse, a wired USB mouse. And so I never did, and I just made mention of it a couple times, and he, over the break, emailed me and said, he's got an extra one, and he will send me if I just, do a review of it on the show. Apparently he doesn't like it. I don't know. Or maybe he's got more than one. I don't know. Anyway, for him, here's the review. I really dig it. I really, really do. I like the, aesthetically, it's very nice. I like the little ball, the scroll ball. The only thing about it that I do not like is the, how on most mice, right and left button on most mice is on the top of the mouse. It's actually a button, right? The plastic is separated. Now, on this thing, the entire top of the mouse is one molded piece that kind of almost like rides on a gimbal, okay? And there's two little finger or thumb placement tabs on either side of this mouse. where if you hold that, you can rock this entire top piece on its gimbal forward for the middle click thing and, you know, side to side for right and left click. And it works wonderfully, with the exception of you have to be careful of your right clicking. You know, it's kind of, you have to kind of watch your, or be considerate about where you're right clicking, otherwise it does a left click, and you know, that's about it. But it's, it really is very nice.
I've never really had that problem on it. I've been using that for a while now, and it works really nice.
I really dig it.
Overpriced, but
yeah, I was going to say, it's a wonderful mouse. If you need to have a knife, and it seems to be pretty rugged too, right? Because it's all the one piece thing on the top.
Yeah, I haven't had problems. Some people have problems with the ball, the little ball
getting gunky or something like that.
But I haven't noticed that problem on mine yet.
But I tell you, you know, if you're looking for a nice mouse, that's a nice mouse. If you can get one used, get one.
Yeah, that's how I got mine.
It's awfully expensive to spend $50 on a mouse, though. And same with the keyboard. The keyboard was $30. I think if you are really, you know, into using your computer and you're looking for a good keyboard, $30 is worth it for this one. It's really nice. $50 for the mouse? No. Get a used one. They're wonderful.
So what are you trying to say? Apple overcharges people?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I make no bones about it.
I don't believe it.
Make no bones about it, but they, you know, they,
shut
they
up,
have the corner
liar
on the market, and it, in the case of that keyboard, that's a damn nice keyboard.
Apple doesn't overcharge. You're paying for quality.
Right, you're paying for a label, you know, it's like designer jeans. It's just in this case, it happens to be worth it for the keyboard.
And on top of that, I got in VM, I'm installing Slack 12 right now, so.
Ooh, nah, I wanted to do that, just haven't had a chance to do it yet.
Well, I downloaded the DVD of it earlier this evening, so I just started it up in a VM session. So, we'll see how fast it goes, and maybe by the end of the show it might actually be there.
Nice.
You guys want to go talk to our guest now?
Sure.
Sure. Talk a little bit of Linux?
That's what we have them here for.
Well, we've got John Hull, who's the manager of Dell's Linux OS Technologies team. John, welcome to the show. Hope you're still there.
Hey. Yeah, I'm here, still here. Thanks for having me.
Hooray!
Hey. Well, Dell has rolled out some machines with Ubuntu pre-installed on them. How's it going?
I think it's going pretty well. I've got a lot of good feedback. We're selling some systems, and so far, so good.
Now, for a while now, Dell has been selling servers with Linux for quite some time now, for a couple of years now, right?
Yeah, for I think almost 8 years.
That's a long time. So where do you think was, what made Dell say, okay, let's give this a shot? What was the tipping point? Was it the feedback that you got from the community? Was it a business decision? What exactly, you know, was the final straw?
Yeah, so I mean, the real straw, we read this website, I think it was launched maybe in February, it's called the Dell Idea Storm, dellideastorm.com, where, you know, Dell wanted to get feedback from customers and, you know, get ideas on what we should be doing. And, you know, out of that, the number one idea on that was give us Linux on consumer systems. And that, since that was number one, you know, that's where we focused some effort, and that's really got us over the tipping point. You know, we wanted to do it for a while. But, you know, up until then, the kind of the market data wasn't there. But that's really what allowed us to do it going forward.
Now, was that did that come as a surprise to you, or were you kind of expecting to get such a that amount of feedback regarding Linux?
Well, I know that, I mean, being a Linux user myself for a while now, I know that the Linux community is pretty vocal and pretty demanding on what they want. Me personally, I wasn't surprised that it, you know, kind of bubbled up to the top. Although I will say, a lot of the other people with the inside of Dell were a little surprised how much press it got.
Because I was thinking about that today, and I was thinking, you know, the people who are going to respond to the Idea Storm are going to, by and large, be people who really, really, really feel strongly about something and want something, or people who have complaints. And, I mean, it just seemed to me like it was inevitable that you would get such a response like that, and it almost seemed to be a way to also justify installing Linux on machines to the higher
up. I mean, that wasn't the original intent to, you know, try to get some data to go into Linux, but that certainly, like for us, that's what came out of it first.
So as far as the sales have been going, is it matching your expectations, exceeding it, coming up short? Where is it at exactly?
Yeah, I mean, it's meeting our expectations. Now, I can't really tell you what our expectations were, but like I said, it's meeting our expectations, you know, tracking pretty well. And I said we've got a lot of positive feedback from customers and people in the community that, you know, say we're doing the right thing, and hopefully that'll continue to translate into sales.
Now, what what negative feedback have you gotten on this? Have you heard any?
Yeah, a couple of things, I guess. I think one of the bigger ones, you know, on forums and emails and that kind of thing, you know, one of them is that people wanted, particularly the, you know, the militant Linux users, they wanted offered right next to Windows on the website. Currently, you can only really get to the part of the site that offers Ubuntu by going to dell.com/open. That's kind of our non-Microsoft OS site. So a lot of people said, hey, why don't you offer it right alongside Windows? So that's one of the base criticisms I've seen.
In other words, just make it an OS choice when you're going through the setup process and you're picking your components, and at the end...
They want it to just be another choice, like you're choosing your video card or your hard drive or whatever.
Now, I'm sure you're aware of, a couple of days ago, there was a blog posting. Someone went in and they priced out the machines with Windows preloaded and Ubuntu preloaded, and the price difference was quite astonishing. It was a couple hundred dollars more for the Linux box. But it seems, I think it was today, you guys went out and you addressed that quite quickly, correct?
Yeah, we saw that on, I'm not sure when it came out. I know we saw that on Slashdot this morning. And I went and investigated what was going on. I talked to the people who run the website, and they went in and resolved it quickly. So we're out there listening, and people have complaints. We try to get those complaints addressed.
I mean, that's good that you guys are, you know, you're addressing different things, and you're turning around pretty quick. I guess for most Linux users, they just want to be on an equal footing with Windows. They just want to be given a fair shake. You know, it always seems that any time in the past where we've come to this point, you know, there's always, somebody always finagles their way out of it, you know? It's just a sense that they want to be, you know, on equal footing and be treated as equals.
Sure, I mean, that's understandable. I think it's in terms of what Dell sells, you know, on servers and with our Precision workstations, you know, it is an equal footing. There's a lot of business that goes to Linux, and that's a big market. The consumer side, with the systems we've got, you know, kind of starting out slow, you know, making sure that if you want to buy Linux, you know what you're doing and you know where to go. We don't, even though Linux is, I mean, in a lot of people's opinion, including mine, it's good enough for like your grandma or an inexperienced user to use. We also don't want that person, you know, buying it accidentally, thinking they're getting Windows and try to load up Quicken or, you know, all kinds of apps and not working. So I think, you know, we definitely want the listener to feel that they've got our attention, and we're trying to get them what they want.
You really think people are that clueless to order something like that and not realize it isn't Windows?
I don't know. I mean, I hope not. But these are one of the early precautions we wanted to take just to see how it goes. I think the biggest thing is what we're a little bit afraid of is, you know, you can, the Ubuntu offering is compared to the same configuration with Windows, you know, it's probably around $40 to $50 cheaper. And what we don't want necessarily people to do is to go in and, you know, have the OS side by side and say, oh, this Ubuntu Linux one is cheaper, let me choose it, not knowing exactly what they're getting into and what the differences are. That's really kind of the difference why we wanted to segment it the way we did.
Now, a stock Ubuntu, you guys are using just a standard Ubuntu install, correct? You haven't added anything else. Do you have plans of maybe tricking the system out a little bit to make it more Dell-like, or are you just going to stick with the stock Ubuntu?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at ways. You know, we wanted to get something out the door to meet what the customers wanted and hoping to get feedback like that. So we are looking at different things, different ways that Dell can add value. Certainly interested if you guys have any feedback for us on some things we're looking at. You know, adding different the audio codecs, adding the video codecs. You know, trying to do various tweaks that we can to the OS. But we're looking for feedback right now. We're evaluating what we can do going forward to make it more valuable to customers.
Yeah. What about DVD playback?
That's one of the ones we're looking at. I think we can add a lot of value there because. I think that's what a lot of people want. I know I want that myself, something that's legal that you can use to test them, you know, just works.
So how are the hardware manufacturers that you work with taking to you installing or offering Linux pre-installed with some of their proprietary hardware that, you know, might not run with on Linux properly right now without a closed driver or no driver at all.
Really what we've done is we've looked at the configurations that we sell. The hardware we're shipping right now really includes the hardware that does work with the hardware from the vendors that are the most open. So, for example, Intel Wireless. That's our wireless option. For video, you've got Intel and you've got NVIDIA. They're all Intel-based processors and chipsets. So far what we've been able to do is go with the hardware that's most open now. And we're working with the other vendors, such as ATI and Broadcom going forward, to try to help them get their offerings more suitable for open source users.
Now, are you guys pretty much sticking with Ubuntu, or are you going to start possibly branching out into other distributions?
It's Ubuntu right now. They're certainly always evaluating what the market wants and what users want. Right now, to stick with Ubuntu on the consumer systems.
So let me ask you, how long of a turnaround does it take to get one of these machines that have been ordered out the door, as compared to just a stock Windows install?
It should be the same. Right now it's we're just starting to offer some new systems. So we're offering those with what they're calling a lead time. So it's taking a little bit longer as we transition from the older systems to the new systems. But in the next couple of weeks, when you order, there shouldn't be any time difference between receiving your Windows system or your Linux system.
We got a question from the IRC, John. Someone is asking, will there be an AMD Bay system available, and when will they start to sell them outside the United States, Europe in particular?
So I can't really say much about the AMD. The systems we got now are all Intel. Can't really reveal any plans going forward, what we're doing quite yet. But for the, yeah, for the meantime, that's Intel. As far as that selling outside the United States, later this summer we'll have an announcement about which we are going to expand outside the U.S., but we'll have an announcement here in a little while about which countries and locales that's going to be.
Now, you guys expanded the line to offer more machines. You originally started with just one laptop, and now you got a couple of them. You got a couple of desktop systems. Is there a plan to maybe roll out to some of the other systems as well?
Well, it's really kind of dependent on what customers are buying and if they're what the feedback is. We kind of expanded systems. The original systems that we started selling the Ubuntu on, those are near the end of their sales life. And so we need to pick some new systems so we can continue to give customers Ubuntu Linux. As far as expanding to more systems, we'll just have to wait and see how it goes. Hopefully we'll be able to do that.
One of the other things that was brought up on the Idea Storm was offering OpenOffice as a choice. Are you guys looking at that as a cross-platform Office solution, choice, possibility, or is that not so much right now?
So obviously, it's the Office solution on Linux. As far as Windows goes, you know, that, like you said, it is one of the more popular ideas on IdeaStorm. I know it's been discussed. As far as plans go, I don't know. That's handled by a completely different team, so I don't know what the plans are there.
So what have been the major hurdles, challenges of bringing Ubuntu to the masses through Dell's hardware?
Probably a couple. The first one really is with the time frame we were given to do this. You know, we pretty much made the decision back in March, and we had to have systems out in May and additional systems out in June. So starting from really scratch with a new relationship with the Ubuntu Canonical folks and get something out, you know, out to customers in 60 days. That was kind of the biggest hurdle. I think the next hurdle was, really going in and, doing our testing and finding bugs and being able to troubleshoot those and resolve them fairly quickly through the help of a number of people in the Ubuntu community. These systems, you know, before we started working on them, we'd never put Linux on them before. So being able to, do all the testing, determine what all the hardware was that was supported with Ubuntu, and get all the issues resolved, and get everything ready for a good customer experience for customers, that was a pretty big challenge as well.
I noticed you guys were looking for, you know, ideas and feedback from the community on your bulletin boards, and I actually went in there and posted a couple things, and one of the things that I suggested was that if you do sell a system and offer optional hardware, that the hardware that's being sold is compatible with Linux. An example, mm-hmm. say a printer, so like a PostScript printer.
Yep.
You know, nothing ruins an experience for somebody. You know, get the hardware, you know, out of the box, they hook it up, and the thing doesn't work.
Yeah, I think we've tried to be pretty pretty careful with that, making sure on the Dell.com/open site that everything we offer with the systems we sell to Ubuntu has been tested and does indeed work. We don't offer any printers right now with the Ubuntu systems. That's another thing we're working on for the future. But yeah, we really limited what we offer in terms of hardware and peripherals to what we tested and what we know works. We want you guys to have the best experience possible with Ubuntu on our systems.
Yeah. since these have started going out and I've heard people have gotten them and pretty much a lot of positive response of what I've heard in the community, how about are you privy to any of the support issues that may have cropped up with regards to these systems? I mean, has there been any statistics on that, that these systems have had a significant number or a significantly less number of support issues in the time frame that customers have actually had them?
Yeah, that's a good question. I really haven't seen any of that data. I guess we've been selling for about 6 weeks now. I know I've seen... Yeah, I haven't seen much in terms of numbers of how, you know, say compared to Windows or any other systems that we sell. I wish I had that feedback. That's a good question, but I don't have any of that data.
Now, when someone buys one of these systems, do you package a restore CD?
Yeah, so we do. So as far as restoration, we kind of do three things. One, when we ship a standard copy of Ubuntu 7.04 with the box, so it's the same CD that you can get from Ubuntu.com. But it's got the Ubuntu logo and it's got the nice sleeve and all that stuff. So if a customer wants to restore from that, they can. Next thing we do is we put on a hard drive like a restore partition where if you know customer's using the system and they screw it up somehow, there's actually a grub entry that you can select that'll actually go and re-image your system exactly to how you received it. So those are kind of the two options we have on the restoration.
We have a question from the RC, John. They're asking, sure, were there any significant hardware changes to make it more compatible with Linux, or is it just stock hardware?
It's actually stock hardware. We didn't have to change a thing. So the real surprising part for us even was that we didn't have to make any BIOS changes. On the laptops in particular, suspended disk and suspended RAM just worked, which was surprising.
Now, as far as drivers are concerned, besides the systems that might have an NVIDIA video card, are there any proprietary drivers on there?
On the laptops, so all the laptops have a built-in modem. So the driver for that is a Conexant modem driver that is closed source. Conexant has a lot of intellectual property and they don't want to open source their driver. So that is really the only one that we had to add on the system. Actually, for NVIDIA, we don't install their closed source driver. We only install the 2D NV driver. And if customers want to install the 3D driver for themselves, it's very easy to do with Ubuntu. We're trying to avoid the closed source as much as we could on these systems.
Now, was that a business choice or a philosophical choice because of that, or did you just not want to get involved in the licensing hassles at this point?
We kind of wanted to stay fairly consistent with Ubuntu's choices, depending on that matter. You know, by default, they don't lay down the 3D OpenGL driver, the NVIDIA driver, unless you go and explicitly choose it. And we also had a lot of feedback from the customers on the IdeaStorm site that said, you know, we want open source drivers. So that's what we tried to give them. We've gotten a lot of positive feedback on that, so I think that was the right decision.
Now, I don't think we actually got into much about what you do specifically at Dell, and how you got involved in the whole Linux process here, that you became in charge of that. I mean, how did that come about? I mean, prior to the Linux initiative, what were you doing?
So my team, I've been at Dell about 8 years, 7 of those on the Linux team. You know, I've been an engineer on a lot of projects over the last 6 years, and I've been the manager here for about the past year. prior to doing the Ubuntu projects. My team also delivers, in the past has delivered the server and workstation operating system. So we work with Red Hat Enterprise Linux and SUSE Linux Enterprise Server. We also do, you know, one of the members on my team, Matt Domsch, is fairly well known in the Linux community. He's actually on the Fedora board. And we have a number of members on our team that do open source development with the Linux kernel and various applications as well.
So you've been working with Linux for quite a while yourself.
Yeah, about around 7 years or so.
Now I'm looking over some of the you know, options and buying stuff. If I went and bought a Dell system, I have a choice of 1 year of, you know, different support issues, 30 days of starter support, 1 year of basic support, 1 year standard support. What do I get with those support offerings? I mean, is that support with Ubuntu, or is that support just with the hardware, or, you know, is that similar to any other system where you get supported with what comes with the system you purchase?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the Dell support that you're talking about, that is for the hardware. So if you have a hard drive that dies, if your CPU burns up, if, you know, whatever happens and it's a hardware problem, that's the warranty you're buying. As far as the software goes, there's another option to buy software port, actually from Canonical, who's the parent company that sponsors Ubuntu. And there's several support offerings there that if it's, you know, if there's some problem with the operating system, you can get support directly from them. By default, when you buy a system, you don't get support from Canonical, which is something our customers actually asked for. They said, hey, we don't need OS support. So don't make us pay for it. So there is an offering to, so you can save money, so that, you know, if you're savvy and you can go out to the Ubuntu forums or on the internet and find out to get the support you need, you can do that without paying an extra dime.
So exactly how many people are on your team?
So here in Austin, we have 13 people that work on all of our Linux projects here in Austin. We also have a team in India. That's roughly the same size.
So is the build process for a Linux system significantly different than any other system that you're offering? I mean, does it have to go through your team that you guys have to put the system together and ship it out, or is it just, you know, an image that somebody pops down onto the hard drive and goes through the assembly line and gets shipped right out?
Oh yeah, it's in the Dell factories. You know, goes through the exact same process as the Windows system. The only difference is the Linux OS gets laid down automatically instead of Windows. So everything's the same.
Now, a question came in from our IRC regarding your team. Those 13 people on your team, do they also work on the server projects, or are they just strictly the consumer end of things?
So the team is mostly enterprise-focused, and we have several people that in the minority that work on the consumer Ubuntu program.
Ah, okay, so that just got rolled right into the... The enterprise server team is what happened.
Yep, exactly, all the same people.
Now, Ubuntu, in about, what, 2-3 months, Gussie Gibbon is going to be coming out, the new version. Are you guys going to be rolling over to that one, or are you going to stick with Feisty for a while?
Yeah, so we're talking about that right now, to see what we want to do. Whether we'll do it right away or we'll wait a couple months, I don't know. But I fully expect us to roll over to Get Together. It certainly makes sense, if, you know, adding new features and additional hardware support. But yeah, it's going to happen. I'm not just not sure exactly when.
That's some exciting stuff. Exciting
stuff. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun so far.
Now, do you, since you your team's running the enterprise, are you dealing specifically with Linux, or do you also deal with Novell and Windows servers also?
So my team is Linux engineering, so we are primarily. Well, I'll say we do Linux. We do Red Hat, we do SUSE, we do Ubuntu. Really don't ever touch Windows if we don't have to.
All right, so you're not involved with the Novell and the Windows side of things. Those are separate teams.
Right.
Now, do you guys all... Does your whole environment, do you work specific, you know, your workstations that you're on... when you process orders and everything like that, is that all Linux-based too over there, or is that a Windows-based system that you have to work in?
Like you're talking about, like the desktops we work at daily.
Yes.
Yeah. So the corporate supported image by IT is Windows. So majority of the people in the company use Windows, but everybody on my team has at least one. Or more Linux systems on the desk doing the same, using it for their daily activities.
Now, a question's coming in if Dell's looking to hire Linux people.
Not right now, but if somebody's got their resume, then submit it at Dell.com and we'll take a look.
So how... You know, speaking of that, if they're looking for Linux people, I could see maybe, you know, later on down the line on the support issues. How do you guys handle, or are you not privy to, how they handle support for these Linux laptops? I mean, if somebody calls up and says, you know, I'm not seeing anything, or my mouse isn't working properly, do you have a special tech support for the Linux laptops, or does it just go through the standard support?
Yeah, so when you call in and leave us, when it asks you for like your system information, like your service tag number, and if it comes up that's a, you know, that's an Ubuntu system, it will route you to kind of our Linux tech support experts that can help you with that problem. So you won't get routed to somebody that doesn't know anything about Linux. It'll be people that have been trained and know how to deal with. At least to a certain extent, Linux problems on those systems.
And I take it that's that might be a place where Dell might be looking to hire more people should the Linux option really start taking off. Or is that also handled by the same people that do the server side of things?
I'm not sure if those guys are the same guys. So they may be the same, they may be different guys, but you know, there's certainly a lot of people, maybe less on the consumer side, but certainly on the enterprise server side, there are a lot of, they have a, you know, a good number of Linux tech support people. They're very, very knowledgeable.
So since you got your team put all this together in such a short period of time, I mean, do you guys get to use these systems? Like, do you guys use these systems at home too? Do you get that capability, or do you have to actually buy one if you wanted to use it at home?
If we have, that's a good question. Usually, you have to end up buying them at home, buying one for your home use. Although. If we have systems that people need to work on, they can certainly do that. But usually when you need a system for home, you go out and buy your own.
So now, are you using these systems at home, or?
Not those systems exactly, but I have different Dell systems.
Oh, so you're running, are you all running Linux at home? Are you running Ubuntu also, or different distributions?
Yeah, I have so four systems at home. I have Ubuntu on two of them, and OpenSUSE on two of them.
Now, what's your preference, Ubuntu or OpenSUSE?
You know, for a couple of years, I've been OpenSUSE has been my favorite. I've used Ubuntu on and off since it came out. But it's definitely, since we started doing this project, it's grown on me. It's up to 50% of my systems. It may end up being more than that. I'm not sure. I'd say they're neck and neck right now. They're both very good distributions.
A question came in from the IRC whether or not you're privy to other companies like HP, Acer, or whatever, planning on releasing Linux, consumer Linux systems. Have you caught wind of anything?
I wish I knew. If somebody has that and wants to tell me, that'd be great. Yeah, I don't know.
That sounds like some really great stuff. Link? Pat?
Yes.
Do you have any questions?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm here.
Do you have any questions for our guest?
No, I you hit every question that I wanted really early on.
Well, it's really happy. I think a lot of people in the community are happy that this has finally come to pass, and we appreciate the effort that Dell's making. Again, I like to reiterate, you know, as a Linux user, we're just looking to be on equal footing with Windows. You know,
sure.
You go into the site, you see it. One question I had is, are there any plans for any mention of these offerings either in the mail order catalogs or in advertisements?
That's a good question. I haven't heard of any, but then I don't really talk to the people responsible for that, so I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Fair enough. Because you're coming from the engineering side.
Yeah, I'm in engineering and they're in marketing. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but Dell's not that big of a company, right?
Yeah, we're only about, 50 or 60,000 people.
There you go. Not see? You guys don't talk to each other all the time?
Yeah. I'll try to see if I can get them on IM.
There you go, huh? I want to thank you for coming on and talk to us.
No problem. It's been my pleasure.
We are really, you know, excited about what you guys have been doing, and I've heard so many good things about it, and I hope and really believe that it will be a success, and we see more offerings later on down the line.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. And if any of your listeners, you guys have any feedback for us, we're certainly looking for it, and we'll definitely listen.
Meyer Emacs.
What's that?
VI or Emacs?
VI.
All right.
They are doing things right. At
they're doing things right. Then you get the Linkster seal of approval. Now everybody can go buy their Ubuntu laptop from Dell because they like VI better. All the smart people will now flock to Dell to get their Linux laptop there.
There you go.
Well, thank you very much for coming on. You're more than welcome to stick around if you want. You know, if you have things you need to do, that's fine too. We'll probably move on to different topics. Pat, take it away.
Take it away. Okay. Wave, guys. Thanks, John.
Yeah, thank you very much, John.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, Dan, what have you been up to, man? We've all talked and, you know, talked about what we've been doing. What have you been doing?
I actually updated the Linux Link website.
Woohoo! Say it's not so.
It is so.
Now, the show listing or the actual old site?
The show listings. Just, you know.
What's new, what's old? Give us the details.
Well, this is a good story, and this is why it's important to do your backups, because...
Oh, man.
Even your database backups are...
He deleted everything.
you know, close to the point. So I get an email from this guy named Dave Yates, who's all bent out of shape because...
Oh, man, that troublemaker.
Yes, he wants the Upstate Carolina Linux Users Group podcast up on the site. And I'm like, yeah, hey, that's no problem. Because apparently, you know, they've been recording their meetings, and it sounds like a really cool thing. So he emails me about this, and then, you know, sure enough, I'm like, you know what, I'm going to put that up there. I'm going to get the Linux Link Radio podcast up there. Some stuff that I've been neglecting, you know, move stuff over to the Dead and Buried section. You know, there's a graveyard. So I'm in there, and I put everything up there, and everything's going well, and I move stuff around. You know, just so you know. What has gone into the graveyard? And I looked at it, Source 21, which was that Dutch videocast. I haven't seen an update in them since January. The GNOME podcast, KDE Radio, Fedora Reloaded. I haven't seen any updates in them in a long time. Security Monkey podcast. I dropped that in there because I have not seen one of those for, like, what, 3 or 4 months now?
He's procrastinating.
Yeah, and when he comes back, I could just move it right out of there. Of course, System Trash, that broke off into Source Trunk and the other guy, Lee Lug Radio Show, which was that short-lived podcast out of Canada, went into and Linux Games Podcast. And unfortunately for now, I dumped Logger in there, too. I would really like to get Logger back up and running again, but I just have been extremely preoccupied with other things. Anyway, so I added Linux Link Radio, which is a biweekly podcast geared towards developers of embedded Linux. Has no affiliation with us, but it's an interesting, if you're interested in, it's a Linux podcast, but on the same token, if you're interested in embedded Linux, that's something to really check out. It's put out by, I believe, TimeSys. Is the company that sponsors that.
Right.
One on there, Dan, just to jump in. Linux Australia hasn't done anything in quite some time now.
I thought I was still getting stuff down from them.
They have you?
I haven't heard anything from them in a while.
It's been a while, yeah.
I'm going to look at their feed in just a minute. Hold on.
Now, going back to the Linux link, I know the topic was bantered around on the forum. That these guys have the same exact name as us.
Yeah, they do. They do, and
Now, honestly, we got that Dave Yates guy. He kind of stole our name too. So we're talking to lawyers about him.
I saw for
That's the one I'm going after because he's got money. That's
a lot of Linux links, yeah. Just because you put up, just
the money.
Well, this is the problem. Let me get back to that story there, because this is all Dave Yates' fault to begin with, anyhow. So hold on a second. Just to answer your question, I believe that the Linux Australia changed to open source on the air, and their last episode was June 21st.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and
I just dumped the feed into my. My list, and off I go, you know?
Yeah, it's open source on the air, OSOTA or something. I know I've gotten them, but they're still around, and I probably should change Linux Australia to open source on the air, which is one thing I need to... But it's still showing. Anyway. What else was I saying?
Story.
Okay, I'm with my story. So, I get it up there. And then I think I'm finished, and then Dave Yates sends me the image that they want on the site. So I get the Upstate Carolina Linux Users Group image up there and everything. And I say to him, you know...
You mean he made you put an image on there,
yeah,
too?
He made me put an image, too.
The nerve.
And I said to him, you know, I didn't know what to put as a description, so I just basically threw up there a podcast of the monthly Upstate Carolina Linux Users Groups. And
and Dave Yates said no, that is
no. I had something else up there. Then he sent me something different he wanted, so I changed it. Right,
yeah.
I changed it for him, and then I got another email from him,
that's
and he's like, "Oh,
man,
yeah." I got another email for him, and he said, "Oh, wait a minute, can you change it from a podcast of the monthly Upstate Carolina Linux Users Groups?" to a podcast of the monthly Upstate Carolina Linux user group. He had originally pluralized group. So it was groups on the first one. He wanted the S taken off a group. So I wanted to make Dave happy, so I fired up and I typed into my MySQL session from an SSH terminal. I typed in update, you know, the table, set the column equal to.
Oh no.
And I pressed enter. I forgot to put the where clause in there.
No where clause.
I forgot.
So you updated
the where
them
clause.
All. Yes. To Dave Carolina user group.
Yep, they were all the Carolina user group.
Oh man.
And I was none too happy. But that's why I have backups. And of course, being the
backups were way too old and didn't have all the stuff in it.
No. The backups were fine. The only problem was I didn't have the backup on my server. I didn't have the backup on my workstation. I had the backups on my Amazon S3 account, right?
Oh, man.
And I didn't have the software installed on my machine, you know, over lunch at work to bring it down. So I had to go configure S3 Fox. S3 Organizer, which was pretty easy. And I pulled down my backup, extracted it, restored, you know, took care of restoring everything, and got it back up to where I had it right before I screwed everything up. So, Dave Yates.
Dave's administrative skills have suffered since becoming a programmer.
So Dave Yates, he's just kicking our asses all over the place.
He's, you know, he really owes us, and I hear tell that Dave is going to try very, very hard to make it to the Ohio Linux Fest this year, where he can make all of this, you know, trouble up to us.
Well, I hope so. Didn't he say something about he's going to pay for our hotel rooms, he's going to buy us dinner?
Drinks?
Oh, no, that was Shop Rat.
Oh, Shop Rat's buying the hotel rooms.
Yeah, that was Shop Rat.
And then Dave Yates is buying
the cigars.
He said, you know, after the picture that we took with him, or that you took with him, Dan, last year, he thought he owed it to you to at least, you know, pay for your motel room.
Yeah.
Chess is offering to buy his drinks unlimited.
Oh, is that what it is?
That's what it is.
Now, I got an email from Gorkon who turned me on to this. Skybus. Skybus is a pretty cheap airline service that they have a flight that goes from Richmond, Virginia to Columbus, Ohio. I looked at it. Round trip ticket for me is $70 to fly.
What is it, a slingshot?
I don't know.
it's like the Flintstones. You're on a pterodactyl and you're sitting out on the wing.
They roll you up in a parachute and some really big guy just throws you, man.
I don't know, but it's $70.
Army dudes.
That's cheaper than me to drive one way.
Yeah?
What's the site?
Skybus.com. I fly out of Richmond, Virginia to Columbus, Ohio. One passenger. I look at the flights. I'm going to go in September. So I switch them both to September. September 29th, right? No, wait. September 29th is the Linux Fest, right? Hello?
Is it?
I think it's the 29th, I think.
Yeah. So I fly out the 28th, and I come back on the 30th.
So bad with dates.
And my total... No, wait a minute. That can't be right.
I love their page. New full-size planes.
Yeah.
As opposed
fifth
to
annual Ohio Linux Fest on September 29th, 2007 in Columbus, Ohio. Be there or be there.
Well, that doesn't help us because nothing flies out of Pennsylvania. So.
Now, of course, the actual ticket cost me $50. Taxes and fees are $20.80. $70.80. The downsides. One, the flight departs at 8:06 a.m. from Richmond, Virginia. It arrives at 9:16 a.m. The return flight from The return flight from Columbus, Ohio, is at 6:30 a.m. There's nothing really wrong with it.
You have to get up early.
Get your ass out of bed, Dad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or not go to bed.
We'll pick you up. Now, is that $80? That's round trip?
That's round trip.
That's pretty damn
good.
That's
really nice, man. I know where the Columbus Airport is. We can get you.
I think I'll arrive there well before you will.
Take a cab.
You never know. You never know. If I ride with Alan, you know, he likes to leave at, 2 in the
morning. We're leaving at 3 in the morning this time.
Well, that's all right. You can pick me up on your way through, dude.
I was going to say, I want to be in Ohio by 8 a.m.
It works for me.
8 a.m.?
My wife will just roll me out into your car, you know?
or at least by those windmills by 8 a.m.
But no, that sounds like a great idea. Now, what's the big drawback is what, Dan? You have to be able to fit inside a suitcase or what?
I don't know.
Those little luggage racks, you know, that say you're all your carry-on shit must fit in here. That's if you can fit yourself in there, it's only $80. Yeah,
cardboard box with a hole to stick his head out.
Yeah. Those little breathing holes, right? That's pretty good, though. You know,
I picture this box
really ought to
sitting
consider
there
doing that
with Dan's head sticking out of a hole in it.
Well, he flies cargo. That's all.
Yeah.
They put them downstairs with the animals and stuff. Yeah.
Aha, well, here's one.
That's why they get the full-size plane.
Okay, here we go. On Skybus, you pay for only what you check. The first two bags are $5 a piece. After that, it's $50 a bag. So if I bring a bag and check it, that'll be $5.
Wow, we're all the way up to $85 now.
So, hungry, thirsty, bring cash. They have a full cocktail bar and food menu, but they don't. Oh, you'd have to buy pillows and blankets if you wanted them.
No bringing your Gerber multi-tool, Dan.
I can't bring my own food.
They don't. Yeah, no matches. Especially don't have matches like sticking out of the sole of your shoes. They don't like that at all.
Yes.
Anymore. No humor. You know.
Wow. Don't expect an army of gate agents. You probably won't see any agents. And man. It's basically a no-frills flight. You get on, you get off. You want anything else, you'll pay for it.
Yeah, but you know, for you, that's an hour, right?
Yeah,
that's,
it's only an
that's
hour.
That's awesome.
No, yeah, definitely.
That's fantastic.
Hopefully
that's like,
you make it one piece.
Like the puddle jumper flights I used to take from Allentown to Philly, you know?
Yeah.
It was like a 10-minute flight?
They were like half-hour flights.
Yeah.
The little puddle jumpers, a twin prop puddle jumper.
Those are great.
Rode like oh man, these things ride like hay wagons, you know. Only it's a hay wagon that's 3,000 feet in the air, dude.
I've taken those before.
You know, you hit a bump and you hear the sheep and the cattle in the back rustling around. it's just bad.
I wonder what airport it flies out of. There's two airports in Richmond. I don't know which one it flies out of. It doesn't say here. Interesting.
The one that accepts full-size planes.
Yeah, well,
maybe it doesn't actually fly out of either one of them. Maybe it just has one of them hooks on the bottom.
You just stand there and it sucks you right up.
You just hold a little ring in your hand and hold your hand up in the air and they come and get you.
Oh, that would just be funny.
Dun, 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 dun.
Passengers for Dan's flight, please hold on to your hook rings and stand on runway number 2.
Wow, you know what? It actually looks like... Huh. That's interesting. Oh, so that's this is how it works. They've got a bunch of places in the country that you can fly from. But they all have to fly to Columbus, Ohio.
That's weird.
Because that's where they're based out of.
That must be it. So I can fly from Richmond to Columbus or Columbus to Richmond, but I can't fly from Richmond to Kansas City.
Unless even you go through Columbus.
Unless you go to Columbus first.
Right? Yeah, I guess I would have to go to... I don't.
If you do connecting flights, you've got to get your own baggage first.
Yeah. I don't even know how that would work. I doubt that you'd be able to go Richmond to Columbus, then Columbus to Kansas in the same day, though. Because it looks like they'd probably be, based upon the times that I'm seeing on these flights,
it'd only be a round trip for $100 from a ABE.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not too bad.
Not at all.
It's Continental, it's $100, $102.
How long's the flight? Like an hour and a half?
According to this, 4 hours. That don't sound right.
Well, it's like a 13-hour trip. Otherwise, you know. So
it's probably it's you probably well, not a direct flight. How many stuff. You're probably
going to Detroit because first. It,
no, because you change planes in Newark.
Newark?
Oh no! It's not a 4-hour flight, then, dude. They pulled that crap on me before out of ABE. What it is, you go to ABE and they put you on a bus.
On the shuttle that takes.
They put you on a shuttle bus which drives from Allentown to Newark, New Jersey, which of course is a wonderful ride, let me tell you. And then you go to Newark. Yeah, you go to Newark, which is already the armpit of the universe, and go through their, you know, what they call an airport there, and then probably it's a 2.5-hour flight. Or a two-hour flight that's from Newark.
They give you 2 hours to get there, yeah.
But if that's the case, then, you know, you just drive to Newark. Don't ever, ever get on a shuttle bus from Allentown to Newark. Been there, done that, got the T-shirt. Don't do it.
Well, let's see what that one is.
Because you figure, man.
Chopra wants to know, are we staying at the convention hotel? Probably, yeah.
Wherever Pat registers us.
I think that's the easiest one to add.
Okay.
Because then we can get, like, ripped and we don't have to worry about driving or paying for a taxi. I think that would be fun.
Hey, Shop Rat, why don't you just, you know, you make those arrangements for us there, buddy, and send us our information, you know, our key cards and stuff, and we'll go wherever you set us up. Either that or we're all going to crash in your room. Split half of us up between Shop Rad and the other half can go stay with Dave Yates. He'll like that. Sleep? Who needs sleep?
You don't need no stinking sleep.
No.
Boy, Travelocity sucks.
Hey, do you guys see this this article, Kicking Around Open Source, Warping Time with Podcasts, where it talks about Linux podcasts and we get mentioned in there?
Yeah, nice, huh?
It's pretty obvious that the person who wrote the article...
Doesn't listen to us?
...actually listened to the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, but isn't that what it says on the webpage for us, though? We're but basically, a podcast.
Does it say the word
exactly.
90 minutes?
Yeah, even though it's an hour and a half long. Yeah, it's on the front page.
Oh, yeah, I guess it is. Well, I'll have to fix that, won't I?
It says here, this, my favorite
hour and a half
line
long
was,
if you're really lucky.
My favorite line was, it was started by the founders of the Lehigh Valley Linux User Group and counts among its co-hosts several academics.
Right. Several academics. I don't know where they got that from.
They must have confused co-hosts with guests.
Now maybe they're referring to academics and that, you know, you work for a school and I work for a university.
I kind of took it as guests.
I don't know. I don't know how to take it. But we got a good mention, you know.
That's all that matters.
At least they mentioned a bunch of shows, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, even if it was like a canned thing, we got, you know, hey, I'm cool with that, and it's okay. Especially if it says, you know, hour and a half on our own damn website, which I run. Whoops. Whoops. Yeah. You know, it's just, you know, that kind of stuff happens. I mean, it took me until like last month to figure out that last year Alan changed his damn blog website. I never updated it on the site either, you know.
That's okay. I haven't posted.
And I think that people have mentioned to me like four or five times that, you know, Alan's link for the, you know, link for Alan's blog on the website was wrong. And it just never connected with me until one day I was clicking down through there and went, oh shit, you know?
Head link.
Well, yeah. I'm working on my quarterly posting, so I'll put a picture of the monitor on my quarterly posting.
Yeah, man, we got to see that nice monitor. I'll have to put mine on there, too. What I didn't tell you guys is that today, just before the show, I hooked up dual monitors on my Linux workstation. So now I have like this, I have this widescreen Mac monitor over in the corner, and right next to it, I've got two 17-inch monitors hooked up to my Linux box, which is really nice. And it was super, super easy to do under NVIDIA. Okay, super, super easy to do under NVIDIA with TwinView. I have also tried to do this at work. And I've done it, but not to my satisfaction at work. And the reason that it's not to my satisfaction is because at work, my computer uses ATI video. And for some reason, the ATI video drivers just are not as friendly. You know what I mean? The configuration is not as as friendly and stuff. Getting the dual monitor stuff to work there. NVIDIA was a breeze. Literally, maybe 10 minutes. ATI had been screwing around for 4 or 5 days. Well, 3 or 4 days. Couldn't get it set just right. One of my monitors was, you know how they just kind of, just slightly bigger than the screen size? Enough that it like slid off the side of the screen a little. And no matter what I did, I could not get it to stop doing that. And it drove me so wacky that I finally pulled the second monitor off of my system today at work.
Uh-oh, time to get an Apple.
Yeah. Yeah, though, well, it's really easy on an Apple. You know, you just plug the thing in, whoosh, there it is. But no, it's really, really easy on Linux with the NVIDIA drivers, too. Just the ATI stuff, man, if you're really thinking about doing dual or more monitors, I would go with NVIDIA instead. That's my 2 cents. My story, and I'm sticking to it.
You should put barrel
on
that.
And if you're really, yeah, if you're really, really rich, like Alan, then you just go out and buy yourself a bitchin' huge wide, you know, widescreen monitor.
Apple monitor.
His 47-inch widescreen something he's got going on over there.
No, it's only 22.
Oh, only 22. Okay.
Only 22.
Must be nice.
You leave from Newark on that the same flight, it's $157.
Why would it be more expensive to leave from Newark?
I don't know, that's what it came up.
They should pay you to go to Newark. You know what I mean?
True.
Maybe that's why it's cheaper if you go from Allentown, because they have to make you go to Newark, so they take some money off for making you go there.
Well, I wonder if you have to go through the strip search stuff in Allentown, or if you got to, and then you have to redo it in Newark, or what?
No, when I did it, they do the the security check is in Allentown. And they put you on a shuttle bus, and they let you off right at the terminal in Newark, because you've already been searched once and all that happy business.
Cool.
But when I did that, this was right after 9/11, I mean right after, a month or two after maybe, and I got to Newark, and they had, this is the day after they switched the day after they switched everything so that the government was in control of airport security.
Yeah.
And, like, there were armed National Guardsmen on every corner of everything, everywhere, pointing their M16s at you as you went along. And I wasn't really entirely thrilled with that, you know.
I would have shot you if I saw you walking down the street.
Yeah, I bet you would, man. Some of these people look like they're 12, you know, and the rest of them look like they're 900. And last thing you need is like some 12-year-old sneezing and shooting five people, or some 800-year-old guy falling asleep on his trigger or something like that. You know what I mean? But
stop the terrorist. Leak the terrorist.
He's got a lighter! Shoot him!
Damn. So how about that? Turbo Linux turned around and signed an agreement with Microsoft to bring MS Open XML. Office Open XML, I'm sorry. And ODF. Open document format compatibility to Turbo Linux, but without the patent agreement that was what Linspire and Novell had agreed to. Who else did it? Xandros. And if Linspire. Xandros, Linspire, and Novell. And if we go to the poll on our website, they said, who's going to jump on the MS bandwagon next? Most people thought it was Mandriva. Only one person said it was Turbo Linux, but it doesn't matter.
That's who it was.
Liar! You're just trying to jump on the successful one.
I'm not. I'm the one person who put Turbo Linux. It's my choice.
You know what? I didn't think...
He's got inside information.
Turbo Linux, that's Japanese, right?
Yes, it is.
No, it's American, but they do a lot of stuff in
That's
Japan.
Predominantly, yeah, most of their business is in Japan.
I kind of figured that they probably wouldn't go with any patent stuff because of being primarily a Japanese. But what do I know?
If it were just Japanese, it wouldn't be called Turbo Linux. It would be called... Or something like that, you know?
Linux.
Linux.
Well, I guess that GPL version 3 has kind of nipped the bud in any more patent agreements. Patent indemnification agreements are making them a little more trickier. I don't know.
Yeah.
And yes, I know Japan has software patents, but I was just, you know, do they give a damn about Microsoft's patents in the United States? I don't know. I remember when Turbo Linux first came out. Remember when we were at a Linux, Linux World Expo, and wasn't there some like comedian guy or something doing magic tricks and throwing dollar bills out in the audience, and that was like right before,
something like that.
Yeah, right before Turbo Linux kind of went mainstream in Japan and fell off the face of the earth in the United States. I don't know anybody that runs Turbo Linux.
Me either. But you remember the, we had a guy early on in our Linux user group whose son went to Japan when Turbo Linux went out there and became real big. His son went out to do Linux support. You remember that, Dan?
Yeah, vaguely. I do remember that. That was a long time
ago. I don't remember who the guy was, but yeah, it was a long time ago. Back in the annals of Lehigh Valley Lug history.
Remember when Stormix was out? Stormix Linux? That was like...
Yep.
Wow. What other distributions kind of fell off the face of the earth? Well, Corel became Xandros. And Caldera became a lawsuit.
or two, yeah.
What was that Linux distribution that was out of Allentown? Best Linux or something like that? Remember that?
Nope.
They said their office was in Allentown, Pennsylvania, and we were like, oh wow, that's like right next door, and they kind of just fell off the face of the earth.
Apparently it wasn't very popular then.
No, I don't think it was. What else was there?
There have been so many.
Remember Maximum Linux Magazine?
I'm still pissed off about that, man.
It was even worse, man, than they going bye-bye, was the fact that I had like a year left on my subscription, and they started sending me Wired, man. What a waste of freaking paper.
Yeah.
That still pisses me off. I really liked that magazine. That was a good magazine.
It was funny. It was a funny magazine.
That was good. That was, you know, has to be right up there for, like, top Linux magazines of all time.
That was too bad. I still have all my issues and all the discs that came with them. That's one thing I didn't get rid of.
I still have them, too, somewhere.
That was the good stuff. I still have my Maximum Linux t-shirt somewhere, although it's really haggard and ratty at this point in time.
I remember that.
But hey, what are you going to do?
It was such a good magazine. Wonder where everybody went. It's all quiet in the house, apartment.
They don't want to bother Daddy. He's on the computer. Oh.
One's asleep, one's brushing her teeth, and my wife's on the computer. And she's about to go to bed.
The typity clickity sounds. The same typity clickity sounds that are being made here in my house.
I'm playing
and
with the six-sided die.
I do have to say this. You all know that my wife and my kid used to be both using a Macintosh. Well, since my wife has moved here, she has been relegated to a 400 megahertz Slackware laptop.
Mm.
And she's digging it.
Well, that's good.
Yes. Oh, yes. She's digging it. It's run solid. This is my old beat-up piece of crap Dell laptop that I was forced to use for a while, again, after my ThinkPad broke. Well, I installed Slackware on that thing, and she has just been pounding the piss out of it, for these 2 months, and she's digging it. It's working good. Everybody's happy. You know, there's a couple things that just is tough to do under Linux, like, what is it? She wanted to play Slingo or something like that. You know, some of that stuff, but she's getting along with it well. Nice and portable, mobile, Slackware. That's the way to be.
And 12 came out recently, but...
Yes, but I haven't had a chance to play with it yet.
Hey, Slackintosh 12 is going to come out soon, too.
It's already out.
Well, that's the release count, the RC1.
Oh, RC1, okay.
So I'm going to wait till it becomes permanent, and then I'm going to put it on that blue iMac that you gave me.
Yeah.
It's just screaming, Slackintosh me. Actually, it's got Ubuntu on there now, but I'm not overly thrilled. It seems to be
slower on that one. Is it wearing Slackintosh me pumps?
Say again?
Is it wearing Slackintosh me pumps?
Slackintosh me pumps, yes. Speaking of, let's see if it's actually still installing over here. Although it's almost there.
This is your Slack 12 install that you're talking about?
Yeah, I put it in VMware. Let's see if we can actually get anything up on it. Survey says... Maybe. Possibly. Survey says I need a little more work on it. Oh, here we go. took a little bit to start up KDE. And I have to turn down the mouse acceleration too. A lot of things like I'm 99.
Zipping around on you, huh?
Oh no, I can't get to any buttons because it's moving so fast.
Wow. Yeah.
That's not working.
This is like a quiet end of episode. We should be totally partying since this is our number 200. But
well,
here we sit.
Earlier.
Yeah, here we sit, kind of, you know, in solitude.
Well, it's because I'm starting up something, that's why.
Yes, Alan, you're correct that we depend upon you to make sure that our topic of conversation keeps moving along.
You want to hear me talk or don't you?
Do it, man. No one's going to stop you. People like to hear you. You got like a big fan base, you know.
Now I have nothing to say.
How's the motorcycle doing, man?
Very nice, very nice. I've got to go up. Well, the wife's helmet just came back from the shop. Getting the intercoms put into it. So I got to go and pick that up. Probably Friday I'll go up and pick it up.
Got a road trip coming up?
No, nothing particular.
No concerts of a certain artist?
No, I don't do those anymore. She finds her people to go.
No country fairs?
Nope, I don't do any of that shit anymore. She did go to see him with my mom the other... I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Oh, she got your mom doing it now?
Yeah, I said I'm not having anything to do with it, so. Gave him directions on how to get down to Philly, and that was it. I know we did a trip down to Sonic, which is down in, now I can't remember the name.
It starts with an E, doesn't it?
That's the closest one.
Yeah, just outside of Reading.
Oh, is it?
Is that the closest one in our area?
What was the town of Sonic?
I think that's
was
the
in?
Only one in our area, actually.
Pennsylvania. What's the town of Sonic?
That was a
key,
real
was
nice
it?
Run ride down.
There's one in Hershey, Ephrata. Too, I think.
Ephrata, yeah, something like that.
But that's
pretty close
Lincoln,
to me.
Right?
That's pretty close to me, actually.
Is there one in Hershey, too?
I know where I'm going this weekend.
Dan?
It was
what?
Good.
Hershey. Isn't there one in Hershey, too?
No. As far as I know, there's only one Sonic in Pennsylvania, and that was the one in Ephrata. I don't know. Go to the Sonic Finder.
I'm going. That's all to it. Them some bitches got a hamburger with my name on it.
They got good hamburgers there.
I wanted a good hamburger, you know, ever since I moved away from Columbus. But you know what? There's this bastard there. By the name of Gorkon, and he has not gotten me a hamburger from Columbus. I've been waiting and waiting, and my patience is just about run out. You know what I mean? So,
is he going to freeze dry it for you?
I don't care, man. I don't care. He needs to, like, I think he should just pull up in a car and, like, order the hamburger and go up and pretend like he can't hear when he gets to the drive-thru window, and when the dude leans out. To tell him what's going on, he can just, like, grab his ass and take him. You know what I mean? Bring him up here, give him a little hot plate in the back of the car. You know?
We did the Morgantown one.
See? Here's the deal. Little hot plate in the back of the car. We're going to take you to Pennsylvania real quick. I want you to make a burger for my buddy Link. But no.
Morgantown, West Virginia?
No, Morgantown, Pennsylvania. That's where it was.
I'm going to have to write that down. Morgantown. Morgantown this weekend. Everybody meet me to Morgantown this weekend.
Well, if you go Sunday.
We're going to get the Sonic.
You go Sunday, I'll
and hit some chow.
Down there as long as it's nice.
I'm going, man. I'm telling you. I'm writing it down right now. Can you hear me writing it down? I'm writing it down. Morgantown.
We'll hit
Town?
SonicDriveIn.com. You can find your
instructions on the underline three times with little hamburger pictures next to it. Hamburger.
Hamburger.
Little toothpicks sticking out of the top. There we go. It's good. It's like set in stone now, man.
There's one in Morgantown, PA.
Yeah, that's the one I went to.
No kidding.
Oh. Really, Dan?
I was too busy thinking of Ephrata. There's one in Ephrata and there's one in Morgantown, PA. Those are the only two in Pennsylvania that are 150 miles from where I used to live.
Oh, man.
Shut up.
Dan's a little slow, but he catches up real good.
Yeah, he's got
eventually.
It. Give him a minute, that's all.
What I have to do is get you a hamburger and put it in one of
he
those
He slides
little,
back into home. He does it in a big way, too. You know what I mean? Like, zwap!
Got to put it in one of those, like, organ donor little containers right. And ship it to you.
Actually, what he should do is he should fly there with it. Fly to where you live. He could just fly into Philadelphia Airport, make it over to where you're working by lunch, give it to you, and then he could fly home.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that would be, you know, an appropriate method of appreciation for his favorite show host, you know. But and I keep waiting, but, you know, he just doesn't want to do it. A little procrastination there.
Well, dun, dun, dun. Speaking of Ohio,
and I've never been anything but nice to him either, you know.
Speaking of Ohio, we got to think of all the swag we got to get in preparation for this big event.
Yes. What are we gonna do for that?
Well, we're definitely gonna do some more book raffles.
Five pens,
yeah. DVDs. I don't know. We're gonna spring for T-shirts.
Yeah.
If we do spring for T-shirts, we got to come up with a new design, I think. Notice the old T-shirts are fine, but we need something
new. New design?
A design for 2007.
Yeah, for 200-plus episodes, going strong.
Yeah. So now that's another thing for our listeners to take care of for us, right?
Yeah, we should have a T-shirt design.
A T-shirt design contest.
You know, go crazy. Inkscape, GIMP.
What's that new one? Oh no, wait, that's an animation studio. Forget it. What's that called, though? Synfig Studio. That's more for creating animation. Man. Yeah, design.
Now you were saying. Pens and shit like that? You wanted to do pens?
Pens are cheap. Because, you know, we're cheap bastards.
Well, yeah. And? That might be good, you know, because that's something, you know, you give somebody a pen, at least that's something they can, you know, keep with them and use for a little while.
We blew our T-shirt money on Linux Fest, not Linux Fest. Linux World last year in Boston, right?
2 years.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's why we didn't have much swag at OLF.
Right. That was unfortunate. However, we did have the book giveaway thing, which is really, really cool. And we're going to work on that again this time, too. For sure.
Yeah, well, we'll get some swag stuff. And you gotta start burning DVDs, too.
Yes, yeah. I have spindles for each and every one of you to burn.
Yeah, woo-hoo! But I'm over here. You're not
and
be
I'm
able
over here.
That's why we have the mail.
I was gonna say, exactly. wouldn't it be just cheaper for me to go out and buy a spindle than for you to mail it to me?
Yeah, maybe.
I gotta get the ISO again.
can mail that to you too.
Why don't you
I could put it on the server for you.
Yeah, you could do that. It'd take you all night, probably.
Yeah, well, who cares?
What's the size of it?
It's pretty full DVD. It's, you know, four gig.
Ooh.
I think I need a
crap,
whatever
huh?
We're burning, I'm going to need a copy of it so I can get started then.
Yeah.
We still have TLLTS stickers?
No, they're gone, man.
Yes, we do. We sell them on the Cafe Press site.
Those aren't the originals, though.
No, they are the originals. The ones that you had made are not the originals. The Cafe Press stuff, we've always had available.
We just go with the Lemon Party t-shirts. Remember that?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either, Dan. If you want to go buy a box of those yourself and give them out, you're more than welcome.
That's okay. That's okay. Whew. Oh, I'm going to be right back.
Yeah.
But if we do a new t-shirt, we definitely need a new design. Even if we do bumper stickers, we need a new design, I think. Got to come up with something new, you know?
The pens are new.
Jello's design was cool. But I like to see something new.
Oh, you mean a new design?
Yes.
Appeal to the female demographic? That would be who?
Yeah.
Hell, my wife doesn't. My wife has never even listened to this show.
Dun dun dun. We should give out TLLTS laptops.
Sure.
It'll just be cardboard boxes. Like those ones you see in the office stores, you know.
And they get over there boxes. And Dan says, No, I said TLLTS lap dances.
Hey, are we gonna stream this year live?
I don't know, are we?
Someone going to sprint for one of those data cards, and my laptop doesn't even have a PCMCIA card.
I do.
See, now you should have bought an Apple
for $499.
Well, I got mine for $480, and mine has a PCMCIA.
Well,
yeah, but
you just had to go supporting that Walmart place, you know, with all
slave,
its
slave labor. Yeah.
I don't know if
you know, I hate freedom.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know if we'd have the bandwidth to do a live show from OLF.
I don't think we would.
If you got one of those,
now those other guys were doing it though, right?
With a data card. I wouldn't do it for 12 hours straight like they did it. I do it for an hour here, an hour there, and that's about it.
How much is a data card?
This is to connect it to your wireless account, to your cell phone account
plan.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, if you have a data plan.
No, see, that would be extremely expensive. And to hell with our listeners. Definitely.
If someone wants to donate a data card to us and
a server and a data plan.
Yeah,
we won't go crazy. We'd do an hour or two.
The card is cheap. It's the plan that kills you.
How much would an hour of streaming data would be? What do you think?
I don't know.
A hell of a lot of money.
You can buy unlimited plans. It's just, you know, it's the amount of money. Yeah, somebody can show up with their EVDO card, and we'll put it to good use. Show up with a laptop and your EVDO card, and we'll get the rest of the software so we can stream live.
Yeah, we'd also have to stream to a server and everything.
We have a server.
Yeah. But we'd have a stream coming in and then a stream going out. I don't know.
We have the technology.
We could do it. I don't know.
Anyway, it's 10:15, guys.
You turn into a pumpkin?
Yes, I do turn into a pumpkin. And now I know why Alan has been complaining for so many years. That 5:00 does come awful early in the morning.
There you go.
Even when you get to sleep for an hour on the train, it still comes early in the morning.
What are you going to do?
Because it's never really a deep sleep. You never know what that really squirrely-eyed dude is doing over there, you know, 2 seats up from you. Got to kind of keep an eye on people. And everybody's really nice in Philadelphia, which sort of weirds you out. And, you know, that's hard to relax around, too.
It could be worse. You all right there?
Yep.
Well, you want me to wrap it up, play this song out of here?
Sure, play our song. What's our song for tonight? You gonna play Val Davis?
Yeah, Immortal, right?
Yes, good song.
Okay. Anything for the good of the cause?
We're back. Thank you, everybody, for sending your kind thoughts. We
appreciate it. Dun, dun, dun.
All right.
Yes.
We're back.
Thank you for listening.
Kind thoughts, good stuff. Thank you very much.
Hate mail. Send us everything.
All right, man.
Hate mail goes to trolls.
Yes. Because it was his fault.
Yes, it was all his fault.
Lots of love to everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah. Good night, everybody.
Have a good one.
Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
And I So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush.
Shut up.
Just shut up. It's over.